comes in the form of question. Did God name the church members? Did God name the church members? The lesson being undertaken this morning is the first part. There will be at least one more lesson or two more lessons. In one of the lessons to come, we will spend at least one entire session, one entire sermon. Quite interestingly, there's so much to learn that passage, and passage we are reading, that the disciples were called first called Christian at Antioch. There's so much to learn from that passage. But when I announced that at least one sermon, because that passage, while it might be mentioned today, much will not be said on it. So we ask that you plan to join us to learn. May I? We must be mindful. I'm talking about those of us who consider ourselves Christian, that because of our human limitation and ignorance, lot of the things that God has made his priority, we do not make them our priority. That's a problem, truly, I mean, for all of us. Take, for example, the subject that we're undertaking this morning. If it ran through your mind when I announced the title of the lesson, if it ran through your mind something that goes on like name, I'm going to preach a name, that's not important. To whom it's not important? Because right in this lesson today, you will realize that name is not only no important in God's scheme of things, but it has always been important in God's scheme of things. Did God name the members of the church? Not a question along that line. Is name important in God's scheme of things? And while this point that I've just expressed will be coming up, but that's not the title. The title of the lesson is, Did God Name the Church Members? And yet, another question, a third question I pose that comes in our mind, and that is there anything in a name? Is it true that there is nothing in a name? because we hear that a lot. Now, be mindful that any spiritual or religious question of which we are serious and sincere, anything religious or spiritual that we genuinely are sincere about the right and correct answer, we must remember that the scripture is the source that you are to go. Very important. You see, brothers and sisters, visiting friends, how you and I feel about things in so many cases is totally different from how God feels about it. And you know what? What counts is how God feels about the thing. And this is why that when we deal with spiritual and religious matters, when we are serious and care for a right and a correct answer, the scripture must be the source that we look to for help. In fact, I think it is Romans chapter 4 and verse 3 is on that very point. Let us hear the passage.
For what saith the scripture?
Now, Paul writing, he posed a point about on what basis Abraham was considered righteous. Was it on the basis of works or on the basis of faith? And it is out of that he posed the question, what say the scripture? What is the implication? You see, that is where you're going to get the right answer. The scripture. What say the scripture?
Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness.
So ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, we will be going to the scripture to find out more as it relates to did or did he not name the members of the church? Is name important in God's scheme of things? Is there anything in a name? Or is it true that there is nothing in a name? For example, the scripture gives a plain and direct answer to the last question that was posed. Is it true that there is nothing in a name? Is that true? That was the last question. I posed about 3 or 4 questions, and that was the last one when I introduced the subject. So right up front, listen the Almighty God and the subject, whether or not something is in a name. And we go to the passage of Acts of the Apostle, chapter 4 and verse 12. Acts of the Apostle 4 and verse 12.
Neither is there salvation in any other.
Neither is there salvation in
any other.
Any other.
For there is none other name.
Under what?
There is none other name.
Your sure name is there? There is none other
name.
Name.
Under heaven,
under heaven,
given among men, whereby we must be saved.
Yeah, just drop this bomb, and that will come in prayer the next week. Lesson that I assure you that any prefix or suffix to the name by which Christ named his people, anything before that name or after that name to complement it, just quiet it up. That we will deal with next week. That is, as far as I understand the Bible, if you have a different understanding and see the need to correct me, I'll be glad to sit and listen to you. As far as I understand the Bible, because in fact Jesus Christ has named members of his family, when I prefix that by the name Pentecostal Baptist Seventh-day Adventist, I'm going to show brothers and sisters that in God's scheme of things, you are going against God's will when you join anything to the name by which you are named by Christ.
Brother Mitchell, are we named by Christ? In fact, that almost exact term is used in the scripture. But we'll get to that. Back to the point that there is salvation in
no other name.
No other name.
But let us move to another passage. And this one I think is Philippians chapter 2. From verse 9, I think, to verse 11. Somewhere about here. Philippians.
Wherefore?
God also hath highly exalted him.
Everyone listening, God has also highly exalted him. The him there is referring to Jesus Christ. The mighty God has also exalted me to lift up, to give all the honor, the praise, the reverence. God has also highly exalted him.
And given him a name.
A what?
Given him a name.
A what?
A name.
So here again, remember we are coming from the concept that you hear out there that nothing is in a name. That name is not important. But here we have the Almighty God speaking. First, that there is no other name given under heaven whereby men must be saved. Name. And that is God speaking through the writer Luke, who wrote the book of Acts of the Apostles. And then the brother is now in the book at Philippians chapter 2. And he's somewhere at around verse 9. Start at verse 9 again.
Wherefore, God also highly exalted him.
Also highly exalted him.
And given him a name.
You see, part of God's exaltation of Christ is the name that God gave him. And given him a name
which is above every name.
There are some names that people have that sometimes when I hear it, I laugh at it.
But I always remember that sometimes when they hear my name, they probably laugh at it too. But here we are told by the Almighty God that he gave Jesus Christ a name. That is what?
Above every name.
Above, what are we dealing with? Name? Yes! Give him a name that is above
every name.
Every name. And watch here. The name, the Lord Jesus Christ, is above every name that angel or man, king or queen or prince has ever wore. In fact, the name Christ is sort of a compound name, or the Lord Jesus. I think I'll be spending a little time on the Lord Jesus Christ. What do I mean by compound? In that name, you are saying that Jesus Christ is Prince. You are saying that Jesus Christ is prophet. You are saying that Jesus Christ is king. Because the name Christ means the anointed. It was a Bible study. Now I asked Brother O'Neill Wilson, what did I say? Okay, back to the lesson. So when you say Christ, that one word means the anointed. And that under the Old Testament, the stage was set for the compoundness of that name. He is priest. We need a priest to be the intercessor. He was. The name Christ also has in it that is God's prophet. Knows what a prophet job is. To bring you God's message. In the name Christ is a king. What king does? The rule over. So back to the passage, brother, of Philippians chapter 2.
Wherefore, God also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name.
Above every name.
That at the name of Jesus.
At the name of Jesus.
Every knee should bow.
Every knee going to bow.
Of things in heaven.
Uh-huh.
And things in earth.
Uh-huh.
And things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
You hear that? The three verses, 9, 10, and 11, it's all about Christ's name. Christ exalted. Well, first, it is Christ's exalted person that is represented in his name. No human being, no angel And that's what the passage is telling us. In fact, look at another passage. I think it's found in the book of Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 4. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 4.
Being made so much better than the angels.
Jesus Christ is better than the angel.
As he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name.
A what?
A more excellent name.
My God, I just start the sermon and we're hearing all this business about the importance of a name, huh? And I'm not gone anywhere in the lesson yet. So the business about there is nothing in a name. That's human ignorance. It's not Bible. Because as I'm going to show, in fact, I'm going to pick up a creation that from the beginning of things, the Almighty God showed his interest in name. Tempted to comment more on the passage in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 4, but let us move on. By examining some scripture and get a better and a correct understanding as it relates to God and name. Did God name the church members? He did. But let us look and see what we can learn about God and name. As I've said, creation is an appropriate place to start. At creation, or in God's creative work, we notice that name was considered, well, name or naming was considered important by the Almighty God. We notice that the first two things mentioned in creation, the Almighty God named them. The two first things mentioned. In creation, God gave them name. Look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 8 through 10.
And God called the firmament heaven.
God called. May I? Do you notice? God made this vast universe. And yet the Almighty name is important to God, that God took time off to give them name. And God did what?
God called the firmament heaven.
Uh-huh.
And the evening and the morning were the second day.
Uh-huh.
And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together,
uh-huh,
into one place.
Mm-hmm.
And let the dry land appear.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so. And God called the dry land earth.
You see, he named the firmament heaven, and he named the dry land earth. God did that. At the beginning, naming it himself. In fact, when the Almighty God divided the light from the darkness, there again, the Almighty God named the light day, and the darkness night. God did that at the beginning of things. Look at the passage of Genesis chapter 1, 3 through 5.
And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day.
Wait. To call mean to name. It is God who... Have you ever thought that when we talk about day and night, that comes from God? And that was from the beginning. You mean the great, mighty God took time off to give the earth and what light and what name? Yes, because God has interest in name. Are we all here? We notice also there, right there toward creation, the beginning of the day, God named it evening, morning rather, and the ending of the day, God named it evening. You mean God take interest in that? Yes. Naming things is of interest to God. To say or believe that nothing is in a name, that contradicts everything that God has shown us. Because so far we have seen that even elementary things, the Almighty God took time off to name them. The naming of his creation was of enough importance to God that he brought, watch here, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the air. And every living creature, God brought them unto Adam for Adam to give them a name. You notice that God named some things himself, and we are talking about the beginning. But then when we deal with the beasts and the flying things, creeping things, he brought them, watch here, not to ask Adam if he was impressed how beautiful they were. Look at Genesis chapter 2. Verse 19 through 20. And what we are dealing with is where the Almighty God brought the fowls of the air, the beasts of the field, the creeping things, for Adam to name them. And whatever name Adam gave them, that was the name fixed on them from creation. Look. At the passage, Genesis chapter 2, 19 through 20.
And God, and out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam. To see what he would call them.
Wait, we all understand that what he would call them mean, what he would name them, what name he would give them. But God, look how big and mighty you are. You're taking interest in what name this little dusty-eyed man going to give them. Yes, God But the Bible says to see what name he would give them. God has interest in name. Read on, brother.
And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof.
You hear? Whatever name God, Adam gave the beasts of the field, the fowls of the air, and every creeping things, those were the name that stuck with those animal and whatever up to this day. We all read on.
And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air.
Brothers and sisters, foolishness here that nothing is in a name. That's ignorance. And as we get into this subject more next week, we are going to see that to go and arbitrarily add prefix and suffix to the name by which God named the Christian, his people, then we are doing wrong. And the Bible shows that we are doing wrong when we do that. You read verse 20.
And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a help meet for him.
Okay. You notice how it jumped from naming the beasts of the field, the creeping things, to Adam need a partner. And look here too. That partner not going to give herself her own name. Huh? Read verse 23, brother.
And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man."
Huh? Who named? No. I find it quite interesting how here in this first and second chapter of Genesis, how it is demonstrated that God has interest in names. Yet, out there in the wider religious world, you hear people, there's nothing in a name. And you know one of the reasons people say that? Because they wear so many unauthorized man-made names. So this is why you hear people, there's nothing in a name. It doesn't matter what name you wear. It does. Because here we are dealing with secular things, just natural things in nature, and God took great interest in those, naming those that God felt it was his prerogative to name, and brought others to Adam for Adam to name. Brothers and sisters, the Almighty God has shown time and again, in various instances, that name is important to God, and name is important in God's plan and purpose. God had a plan. Watch here now. This plan in God, Paul speaks about it in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2 and 3, but we will not read that because we want to go on to this last point in the lesson. God had a plan to help man, that includes you and me, to help man out of the dilemma in which man found himself through sin. God planned to find a way that he could forgive man of his sin. For this, what the Almighty God decided, that
He'll have to bring the Savior Jesus Christ into the world. But watch here, the Almighty God realized that the world had to be ready for Christ.
Amen.
He couldn't just bring Christ into the world at any time in human history. The Almighty God decided that, you know what? He's going to select a nation. Follow me. And wait. Remember, at that time there were many nations on the earth, ethnic group, and God was the one who made it like that. But in this case, to bring the Savior Jesus Christ into the world, God going to select, as I almost say, God going to make this nation and guide this nation. So that when Jesus Christ comes, he will come through that nation. That nation would preserve a sense of godness on earth. That nation would preserve a sense of right and wrong, morality. Limited, yes, but a sense of right and wrong would be preserved. But watch God now. Way back in human history, when the Almighty God started the wheel of redemption in selecting that nation, run with me, brother, to the book of Genesis, chapter 32, I think. And let us hear from verse 24.
And Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him.
You see, ladies and gentlemen, there are times we need to be alone with God. That is a fact. I love when the Almighty God decided to direct Abraham to offer his son Isaac on the altar. It's like God told Abraham to leave. As a countryman, I would say, leave your yard. God told Abraham to go, leave your house, and go to a place that I will direct you to build an altar and to offer. There are times when we need, you know, Jesus Christ talk about when you pray to God, get into your closet. Closet there doesn't mean the restroom. You see, it means get into a place where you are not distracted. Because a lot of time, the distraction that we have to deal with in the world sometimes comes between us and the things we want to say about God. There are times we need just to be with ourselves and God. And I like the part there with your brothers just read in verse 24 that Jacob was alone. You remember what I'm pointing out, that God had a plan to select and start a nation to bring Jesus Christ into the world to deal with our sin and our salvation. But in the divine mix, change of name and naming becomes important to God. That is, in starting the wheel running
for this nation to come to reality. So name change is necessary. Some new name must be given. We're talking about, is name important? Yes, it is to God. So you're at verse 24, brother.
And Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him.
There wrestled a man with Jacob.
Until the breaking of the day.
Until the breaking of the day. Let us hear it, brother.
And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh.
That's the angels prevail not against the him, not against Jacob.
He touched the hollow of his thigh.
That is the angel giving him a karachi. He touched the hollow of his
thigh.
Of his thigh.
And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint. As he wrestled with him. And he said,
Wait. You know what I find interesting? That in changing name and naming name, this wrestling between Jacob and the angel was also necessary. That's right. Because it is in this wrestling Jacob going to demonstrate his determination that he does not give up easily. Wait. I need to hear that about nation. That's exactly it. We are right here in the dawn, the very beginning. Of the Almighty God selecting and making this nation. Read on.
And he said, Let me go.
That is the angel said. You notice this man's determination, brothers and sisters. That plays an important part in the Almighty God choosing this man to be the head of a nation that would bring Jesus Christ into the world. The angel said, let me go. That Jacob hold that man. Wait, not man, the angel. That's right. Jacob held on to the angel. Read on, brother.
For the day breaketh.
He said, let me go, for the day breaketh.
And he said, I will not let thee go.
That is, Jacob said, I will not let thee go
except thou bless me.
You see, somewhere along the way, Jacob get the inkling that he was dealing with a supernatural being. Somewhere along the way, not only that, somewhere along the way, Jacob realized the importance of blessing. I will not let thee go until thou hast blessed me. I wish we would crave God's blessing and that we would show determination for that blessing. Read, brother.
And he said unto him, What is thy name?
We almost forgot that we're talking about name. When name have to do with it? The angel said, what is thy name?
And he said, Jacob.
And Jacob said to the angel, My name is Jacob. Uh-huh.
And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob.
Wait, take time with us, brother. Are we all there? The angel was an angel from God, from heaven. What is your name? What does that have to do with anything? If God wants to use a man and do his thing, God does his thing. No, sir. Name is important to God.
Yes,
the angel asked, what is your name? He said, my name is Jacob. Wait. That means I'm a Jamaican. What do you mean, brother? I am a brain worker. I'm a supplanter. I'm a deceiver. I work brain on you and get whatever you want. That's what the word Jacob means. A supplanter. One who loves to work brain to rob others. God cannot have that name being the head of a nation. So Jacob, the angel said what?
Thy name shall be called no more Jacob.
Wait, you're going to drop that name as of now. So we're going to change my name for. Because name is important. In fact, read on for the brother.
But Israel. For as a prince.
Israel is in the news a lot today, isn't it?
Yes.
Lebanon, eh?
Yes.
And sometimes when you listen to news, it grieves our heart to see a lot of the innocent people that are being slaughtered. But that name Israel was not a man-made name. It was given by God. When God founded or was in the process of creating a nation to bring Jesus Christ in the world.
May I?
Because we are closing. Your name shall no more be called Israel. No, your name shall no more be called Jacob, but
Israel.
You see, ladies and gentlemen, in Bible, general, name does not only identify us, name gives information. General, watch your mouth. I almost want to, let me just touch this. Every time you use or call the name Israel, this syllable, L, is God. That's the word. That's how comes the word Elohim. The last syllable in the name, Israel. You cannot call Jacob and don't call God. You know what is going to be interesting? When we look in the name that God named the Christian. Eh? In fact, there's so much to learn.
lesson. We are going to see that among the things, there is one writer that wrote the New Testament, where he wrote more than one book. And he keep referring to God's people as disciples. What we are going to find interesting is from the time the name of Christ's followers was changed from being simply disciple to the name that God gave them, that same writer that has used the word disciple over and over again in his writing, but from the passage of Acts chapter 11, that writer rarely ever used the name disciple again. Those are some of the things that are going to come up to show the importance. But as I close, and many more things to say on this lesson, but let me close here. Israel is not a man-given name. It is a God-given name. And it gives information. It not only identifies the people that God chose to be the nation that he's going to carve out to bring Christ on the earth, but every time you say Israel, you are also talking about God.
Yes.
Because that last letter is the same word for Elohim, God. Let me wrap up.
Read to verse 29 and stop, brother.
And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel.
He's going to give the reason now. Read.
For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men.
As a prince you have power with God and with men.
And has prevailed.
And has prevailed. That is referring to the wrestling. So this is why I said a while ago that even the wrestling that we may look on as pure accidental, but Jacob's determination in that wrestling was important to show that he's not a person who easily give up. Did you know that God doesn't want his people to be people who easily gives up? Did you know that Satan wants us to be people who easily give up? That's why Satan brings discouragement in our lives. Failures. Disappointment. And some of us, we give up so easily. Ladies and gentlemen, let me end this lesson. But don't miss out on next week's second part of this lesson. So much to learn. And the point, if God name the followers of Jesus Christ, let me end the lesson here. Let me end the lesson here. We beg you, if you are a visitor, not to miss the follow-up to this lesson. There's so much. And we in fact, I can say, I know if you were here today and you were listening, you will leave here having a better understanding that God has interest in name. That's right. Now, I'm not here saying God has interest in any old name. But God does have interest in name. And the foolishness we hear out there and the ignorance that there's nothing in a name, that's pure ignorance. Just what you have heard today should, if you were listening, should help you to understand that there is something in a name. Eh? There was much in the name Israel. Because in that name, you have identification being given. You have distinction being made. You have information being given and glorification. Because every time you say Israel, you are glorifying God. You can become a child of God today. You see, by this very study, if you are not a child of God, you will realize how much ignorance is out there in the world. And I will build my church. You know, among other things, that is quite important to your salvation, when you become a member of the Church of Christ, you become a member doing the same thing or meeting the same terms that men and women did when the apostles were on earth. We are not going to come and give you some do's and don'ts that are invented by man. No. Whatever Paul would have told you to do to become a child of God is the same thing any true church of Christ will tell you to do. And today we are saying, Paul would have told you to first hear God's word, and from hearing the truth of the gospel, you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. From believing, your belief, your faith, when it reaches a particular point that God wants it to reach, it will make you want to turn from sin and turn to righteousness. The Bible calls that repentance. You must repent in order to become a child of God. Are you a Christian when you repent? No, you're just getting started. From repentance, you must confess Christ's name. Don't you remember Jesus Christ said, if you're ashamed, to own him here, he will be ashamed to own you in the other world. So if you're not ashamed to own Christ today, what hindering you from stepping forward to give Christ your life through getting buried in the watery grave of baptism as Christ was buried in the tomb? Come now, hearing, believing, repenting, confessing your faith, and getting baptized for the removal of your sin. We are here to help you. Jesus Christ is ready to welcome you as we stand.